الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: وليس الذكر كالأنثى. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praise and all glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost accept our attendance here today and make it a means for our forgiveness, for our guidance, for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Allahumma ameen. Today we have a very meaty topic to discuss, and in reality it is at least a 3-hour lecture or discussion which I have attempted today to condense into 30 minutes or so. So from the outset, I will request that you lend me your ears as well as your mind and your heart and listen attentively to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance of our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for this very subject affects every single one of us, those of us who are parents, those of us who are guardians, and those of us who have siblings. We all have a great duty and responsibility to fulfill now, or perhaps in the very near future. We are living in a very, very strange world, a very, very dangerous world that we are currently living in, a very, very fearless world, which is not based on much or many principles, a world that you could say is most likely a world without a God, a godless world, where the majority of people, especially in this country now, Christianity is a minority in terms of a faith. So the world that we are living in is a very, very strange and different world. But at the moment that we are in now, if a teenager, a minor, wishes to purchase some alcohol, they will not be able to purchase alcohol. If they wish it to go and purchase some tobacco, to purchase some knives, or to purchase some fireworks, or even to purchase the lottery, the law will say no. You are too young and you are unable to purchase or do any of these things. It will say no. You say, the law will say you have to be 18 years of age in order to get a tattoo, in order for you to purchase alcohol, in order for you to do any of these things. And those people who attempt to purchase or carry out any of these activities under the age of 18, they will be fined. And they will also receive a prison sentence, perhaps 6 months or to 12 months prison sentence for breaking the law, because the law says and the law dictates that these people, these minors, are too young to understand the ramifications and the dangers of their decision. And if they drink this alcohol, or if they purchase this tobacco, or if they purchase these knives or fireworks, etc., it will have a huge effect upon them or others that are around them. So this is the role of parents, to tell children what they can do and what they cannot do, what is good for them, what is bad for them, what is harmful for them. And parents then make up the society that we live in, because society comes together and they reinforce all of these rules. And it is society that also then develops these things into law. That the law says, which means the society says, which means the parents say, that you can or cannot do something. And the overall objective of all of this is to protect the child, to protect the minor, to protect the future generations, and to guide them. This is the world that we assume that we have lived in, and this is the world that we assume will continue as it is. But as I mentioned at the beginning, we're living in a very, very strange world. A very dangerous and fearless and unprecedented and unprincipled and godless world where things are rapidly changing. Society is changing, the laws are changing, our children are changing. So this is the current law. You have to be 18 to do X, Y, and Z. But now, if a child comes to the parent, if a child goes to the GP, if a child speaks to somebody in the NHS, if a child speaks to somebody at school and says, I think my gender is wrong. I want to remove my genitalia, my private parts. I want to change. I want to mutilate my body. I want to change myself. I want to change my biology. I want to change who I am physiologically. I want to block my puberty. I don't want to have breasts for a woman or a beard for a man. I want to be someone. I want to be something else. This is what the world and the society and our children are saying now. Now look at the beginning paragraph. If you are under 18, you can't purchase firearms or alcohol or even gas or knives or anything. But now this underage child, when it makes this claim, society and the law and the institutions are saying, yes, you can do this. You can change your gender. You can block your puberty. You can mutilate yourself. You can be whatever you want and act however you want. This is what the world is going at. This is where we are going towards our own halak, towards our own utter destruction. At this very moment in time, there are 107 genders that a child can say, I am this, or I am this, or I am this, or I am that. Whatever the child feels, whatever the child wants, whatever they want to be in terms of their whims and their desires and their dreams, even though it may not match reality, the law is saying yes. Society is saying yes. Parents are also saying yes. And this is the result of living in a godless society where people are centered on the human being and not centered on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This godless society is removing the rights of parents. It is removing the morals. It is removing faith and scripture from the lives of all of us. And it is superimposing and replacing all of those with something called today transgender rights. That they can be and they can feel whatever they want and they can claim whatever they want. And this is something which is not unprecedented because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had already informed us. In one dua, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, does ta'awwuz seeks refuge from four things. Min jaris su, and also from an evil neighbor, from wealth which is not beneficial. And the third thing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa min waladin yakunu alayya rabban. But oh Allah, I seek your refuge and your protection from my child, from a child that will become my Lord. And this is the world that we are living in now, that teachers can't say anything to their students. Parents cannot say anything to their children. Whatever the child says, they are in charge, they are in control, they are the lords of school. They are the lords of society and they're lords of the home. They can dictate and say whatever they want. And this is the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Allah, protect me from a child that will become a Rabb, a leader and a lord over me, over the parent itself. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in other ahadith mentions, سَأُحَدِّثُ عَنْ أَشْرَاطِهَا إِذَا وَلَدَتِ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّهَا. I will tell you about one of the signs from the signs of Qiyamah towards the end of times is when a slave girl, a slave woman will give birth to her master. In this day and age, our parents, the parents that are there, they are all slaves to their children. And the children are the masters of their parents. Whatever they say, whatever they threaten, whatever they dictate, exactly is what the parents have to do. The child has become the master. The child has become the lord. The child has become part of the society, and the society is fearful of that child. So we are living in unprecedented times where there is a huge assault on our moral, on our spiritual fabric of society and also humanity in the world that we live in. And this is not something that should just happen willy-nilly, just happen just like that. It's been going on for quite a few centuries. And this especially has taken a lot more pace since the Enlightenment period. And the Enlightenment period was then when they separated the church from the state. That the church is separate, religion is separate, and the state is separate. Human beings don't need Lord. They don't need a God. They don't need a religion to dictate or to tell them what our morals, what our ethics, what our values, what our principles. No, they separated the church from the state. And then we saw the revolutions that took place in Europe especially. These bloody revolutions and how they need to have freedom and fidelity and all of these other rights, whatever they want to do, however they want to live. And especially post-wars, for those people who have read their history, especially post-war, when women then came into the workforce. And then the women said, okay, we are equal with men. We have the same rights as men. We can do whatever the men do as well. And this is how it gained even more traction. And then the roles then slowly began to switch. And the feminism came on top and masculinity was then subdued. And especially for those people who understand their history, is this took place more so when the pill was introduced. Why do I say the pill? The pill, which is the contraception for that the women take so that they do not get pregnant. Originally, it was the families, the husband and the wife that got together. And this was an intimate part. And the reality of this was that you'd have children. But then by the pill, they could control this particular element. And they could say, no, we don't have to have children. We can control who we want, who we do not want. We can control that sex is not part of a family. It's not part of an institution. It's something entirely separate. This is also one of the reasons why this took even more pace in our society. And then this fed into the gender fluidity, that we don't need to be this or that or conform to the norms of society. So this is the world that we are living in. On one hand it says 18-year-olds, under 18-year-olds cannot do X, Y and Z. And at the other hand, any child who's under the age of 18, if they make this claim, they say they welcome them with open arms and say yes, you can do whatever you want and you can behave however you want. So this transgender ideology is not just something which is there in the society that we think, which is in the movies or X, Y and Z. It is being taught to our children in the primary schools, in the secondary school. They are bombarded by this everywhere they go, in Disney, in Netflix, in the media, everywhere they're saying this is the norm of society. Transgender ideology, it negates scripture. It rejects all forms of faith in scripture. It also rejects all form of human biology as well, and humanity and the social norms. Where it is important for us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphatically mentioned in the Quran, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْسَى, that the male is not like the female, and the female is not like the male. They have been made in two distinct, separate genders by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the norms of how we operate. These are the parameters of our life. So we need to make sure that we as parents are instilling within the heart and mind of our children that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the male. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the female. And this is how we live. This is how we operate. If you look at humanity far and wide, if you look at mammals, the majority of all of the mammals and species, the default is there is a male and there is a female. I'm not talking about the 0.1%. or the abnormalities, I'm talking about the majority, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. And this is alarming because not just in the UK, but also internationally, it's taking on a huge precedent. In Canada, there's a minor, underage child who sued his own parents for preventing him from becoming a girl. And the court sided with that minor child, thinking that that child knows enough and understands enough and allow that child to separate from the parents and to change their biology. The same law in the UK doesn't allow a child to get married before 18, get a tattoo before 18, drink alcohol before 18, drive a car before the age of 17. Now these laws are saying you can change your gender and be whatever you want. In Alaska now, the clinics of gender changing clinics. They're saying, we're not going to call your parents mother anymore. We will call your mother an egg producer. This is how they are completely breaking apart the entire structure of humanity and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Is your mother just an egg producer? Is your father just a sperm producer? Or is he a male, a distinct male that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? And your mother a distinct female the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? In USA, the chief child psychologist of the entire USA, she is saying that children can be gender miniatures. What is a gender miniature? It's a mythical creature where the top head of the child, of that being, is like an ox. Like an ox. And the bottom half is a human being. So the child can be mythical. The child doesn't have to be just a human being. It can associate as any particular thing. It can be a dinosaur. It can be a table. It can be a fox. It can be anything. The chief child psychologist of all of USA is saying, this is how children should be given the freedom to choose the gender that they want. In Texas, there was a couple who divorced. And after they got divorced, their father was unable to see the child. And the mother changed the gender of the child from a boy into a girl. And the father, no matter what he did, went to the courts have nothing to say to the father. You have nothing to do here. The mother can do what she wants. The child can do what she wants. In the NHS today, at this very moment in time, there are 26,234 adults looking to gender change. There are 7,600 children now in the UK, and it could be from our community as well, looking to change their gender. And this will only increase exponentially as time goes on, unless we stand tall and we stand strong and we say that this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Al-Dhakar and Unsa. He is our Khaliq. He was our creator. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed us. We have a huge religious, a huge ethical and moral responsibility to fulfill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us the middle nation, the moderate nation. We are not extremists in our ideology and understanding of humanity and who we are. We know that we have a physical body. We also have the ruh as well. We know we are not like the mammals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and neither are we like the angels. We are in between. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that balance and moderation. But more importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, shuhada'a 'ala an-nas. You are made as a witness unto all of humanity that you preach and you stand tall and you speak the truth and the bitter truth, and you tell them that the male is a male and a female is a female, and that's it. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it with our biology. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with a spiritual duty and a responsibility of upholding morality, of upholding justice, of upholding haya and sharam and decency and the normality. We must stand strong and tall the way that we have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to very quickly unpack this whole discussion here today. As I mentioned, this is a 3-hour discussion that I've tried to compact within 30 minutes. But the transgender ideology, they can make any claim. They make a claim, I feel like a fox, you're a fox. I feel like a table, fine, you're a table. I feel like a male, you're a male. I feel like a female, I'm a female. They can make any claim in this ideology, and they do not require any evidence whatsoever. They say it's a social construct, we can do, we can feel, we can be whatever we want. But this is not how we are governed, how we are taught and commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our faith has clear parameters, clear guidelines and separations for both genders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. That don't wish for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the other gender. Whatever the male has been given, the male has been given. Whatever the female has been given, the female has been given. You can't say, Allah, I wish I had hips like a woman. I wish I had long hair like a woman. I wish I had a torso like a man. No. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا. Whatever they were given has been given to the male. Whatever the female has given has been given to the female. You are not in a position or a place to make that wish. لا تتمنوا to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I wish I had this from a female or this from a female. We need to know exactly who we are. The male and the female are two distinct genders that Allah azza wa jal has created. And if we fail to speak up today, and if we ignore this, or just brush this under the carpet, or allow this to continue within our own homes, within our communities, then it will invariably affect us and our deen, and our masajid, and our religion. What will you say to a transgender? Where do you want to pray? You want to pray here with the men at the front? You want to pray at the back with the women? Where do you want to pray? Who are you today? Are you a male or are you a female? How will you ask them? How will you do your wudu? How will you do the ghusl when they pass away? How will you do the nikah? Who will be the mahram? Who will be the ghair mahram? How will you perform the hajj? What will that transgender be wearing when they go to perform hajj or umrah? How will you bring your children up? All of this completely breaks down our religion and our faith, and this is why family, the institution of family and the institution of gender, male and female, is absolutely paramount for us to make sure it is as strong the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended, that the male is a male and the female is the female. The transgenders, they accuse us of preaching hatred. They say, oh, Muslims are extremists. They hate transgenders. They have this bigotry and they are violent towards transgenders. And they term this transphobia, to have a phobia and have a hatred and bigotry and be violent towards transgenders. But inventing terms doesn't change biological facts. When you check the blood of a male, when you check the blood of a female, you will see the difference. In XY or XX, you will see that difference there. Just making these claims doesn't mean that I am being intolerable towards the other. We disagree with their claim. We disagree with their lifestyle. We disagree with the decisions that they make. But that doesn't mean we are preaching hatred and violence towards them. We disagree with alcohol as Muslims. We disagree with eating the pig. Does that make us alcoholphobics? Does that make us pigophobics? No, it doesn't. It's just our stance and our morality and our scripture and our faith that this is who we are. You want to drink alcohol? Fine. You want to eat pig? Fine. You want to be this gender? You be it, but don't impose it on us and force us to accept it. We will tolerate it because this is your way of life and your thinking, but you cannot enforce this upon us or our children. This is not hatred. This is us standing up for who we are and what our faith dictates. If a young man came to you today, a minor man or a child, and say, I want to cut my hand, I want to cut my leg off, I want to cut my nose off or something, what we will say? We will say, no, you cannot do something like this. And why is our response different? We'll say the exactly same thing if they want to cut off their genitalia. We will not say yes in that regard either. It is very important for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly in the Quran reminds us, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. There's nothing more clear than that, nothing more emphatic than that. Oh, all of humanity is being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have created you how? Created you as a male and created you as a female. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread from that male and that female multitudes of men and women throughout the entire world. We all come from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and we all come from Sayyidina Hawa, the first male and the first female. That's it. There are no other genders in our religion, in our faith. And this is why at this moment, when this particular verse was revealed, perhaps at that time the Sahaba ikram didn't quite understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make this particular statement. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْسَى. That the male is not like the female. The male cannot be like the female. At that time, it's already a fact. Why restate a fact that is already established? But in this day and age, this verse is very pertinent and very important to every single one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us all in this era and saying, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْسَى. The male is not and cannot be like the female. this is our stance and our morality, this is our deen and what we believe. Biological sex is determined, as I mentioned, by XX or by XY. The body of a man and the body of a woman is very different physiologically. The genitalia is different, the body mass is different, even the density of a bone. You take the bone of a woman from a million years ago or 20,000 years ago and you can still tell that this is the bone of a woman versus the bone of a man, because the density is very, very different. The hormones are very, very different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us differently, but He's also created us to complement one another, because when the male and the female come together, then they complete all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the male and placed in the female. The male and the female, they make the complete view, the holistic view of humanity and society and what Islam wants from us. So the biological sex is not a choice. And this is something that we are facing and debating. Oh, it's a, you know, you can choose whatever you want to be. You can behave however you want to be. But no, for us as Muslims, we have been given this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our primordial nature, our fitrah that Allah azza wa jal has created us with. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبَدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. This is the predisposition, the fitrah, the innate nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with. لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. There is no change in the khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the khaliq, we are the makhluq. We cannot play God. We cannot say we want to become creators and we create ourselves and our own genitalia and be however we want. Everything has been given to us in a distinct manner. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave la'na upon those people who dress like women and gave la'na to the women who dress like men. You have distinct roles. The hair for women is long by the qadr of Allah azza wa jal. We have facial hair by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our genitalia is different to women. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. La'ana an-nabi al-wasila wal-washima, those who tattoo themselves, those who lengthen the hair and those who part their teeth, the la'na of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah azza wa jal is upon them. The la'na al-mar'ata tatashabbaha bil-rajul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, send la'na upon those men or women who cross-dress. There is no cross-dressing in Islam. Males should look like males and females should look like females. If you look at pictures today in the society that we live in, you cannot tell who is a male and who is a female. And we as parents have a duty towards our children to uphold the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure that our children are wearing clothes that are appropriate for their gender and behaving in an appropriate gender manner, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, and not the way that the society dictates. Oh, let them, it's fine, behave like that, or play like that, or believe like that, or think like that. No, our genders have been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and also in the Sunnah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a gender, whether you are a male, whether you are a female, you must understand that He is our Khaliq, and He has created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make mistakes. And if you have been made into a male, then this is how it was designated and decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your gender is a gift from your Lord. Appreciate that gift and accept the blessings that come upon you as a result of that gift. Be like a male the way that you have been created, or be like a female the way that you have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal mentions in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created man in the best of statures, in the best of manners, man and woman, insan. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. That the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and molded you is in the best of ways. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who designed and created you the way He wanted. Not the way that we want to be, like a male or a female or a drag queen or cross-dress. No, we must protect our children and their huwiyya, their identity, and especially it begins with their gender. Because once you break that down, then you have complete and utter chaos in society. This is very important for the adults to be adults and tell their children what is reality, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable, and our paradigms and our norms are dictated by our religion and not by society. And I'll just break down one of the claims that the transgenders do. The transgenders, they say, oh, you can be whatever you want, you don't need to have any justification. Well, the opposite of that is that we know and understand that race and ethnicity are social constructs. What does that mean? If you take the blood of a black man, if you take the blood of a white man, you'll never be able to tell which is a black man, which is a white man from the blood. You can't tell. This is a social construct on who are what we consider to be black, who we consider to be, you know, other race or other ethnicities, and also social norms as well. It's 100% social construct by humanity. So if somebody were to come to you and say, I want to choose my race, imagine I came to you and say, I want to be known as King T'Challa from Wakanda, and now you recognize me as King T'Challa, or I want you to recognize me as Prince, or, you know, King Ghulam Muhyiddin. You'll say, whoa, you know, you're not a prince, where's your blood, where's your lineage, you're not a black person. So you wouldn't accept this from a social perspective. I can't just say I'm a black person, even though my color is different. I can't say I'm a white person, because my color is different. I can't say that I'm a king or a queen or something like that. Society will never accept this. Imagine going to Prince Charles or King Charles and say, I'm a king as well, you come kiss my hand. You call me, you know, King Highness. You would never, society will not accept that it's a social construct. So if this is unacceptable to society, to not accept race or ethnicity or social hierarchy, then why is it acceptable in society for you to say, I'm a male or a female, I'm this gender, I'm that gender, I'm 107 genders? We cannot challenge and we cannot tinker with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not do that with what society says, then by greater right, we cannot do that by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with. And I want to conclude with one very important, a very, very powerful verse of the Quran, just to remind you that it's not just the children, it's not just society who is behind all of this, or people in powerful positions. It's actually none other than Iblis, our greatest and open enemy, because he is the one who said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Lord, because you have thrown me away from your mercy, you have thrown me out of the kingdom of heaven, now I will misguide all of your people. Every single person that is there that you will create, my job, my motive, my dedication would be to misguide every single one of them, and you will not find the majority of them to be thankful. Majority of them will be unthankful. وَلَا تَجِدُوا أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And this is the reality, that people are not happy with their gender. They're not happy with their body. They're not happy with their genitalia. This is why we go and we have, you know, plastic surgery and we do all of these other things, because they're not happy with the way that we are, because society is constantly telling you, you don't have to accept this. You can be whatever you want, do whatever you want. And this is the waswas of the shaitan. This is the motive and the attack of the shaitan. He wants us to be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the way that he has created us. But this doesn't just stop there, where we are just ungrateful to Allah azza wa jal. It goes far deeper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, la'anahu Allah. The la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon shaitan. Why? وَقَالَ لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُودًا. That the shaitan said that I will surely take from among your servants a specific portion. I will take from your servants and I will try to misguide them. What will I do? وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. Listen to these words. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. It comes from dalal, to misguide, to take people off the right path, of the right understanding of what gender and normality and society and scripture is. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. This is what I will do. I will mislead them. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. And then I will tempt them, arouse in them sinful and vain desires, put these tamanna, these wishes within their heart. I wish I was like this. I wish I was a female. I wish I was a male. I wish I could do X, Y, and Z. I will misguide them. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ. And then I will command them, فَلَيُبَدِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ. And I will command them to do what? فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will command them, after I have misguided them and tempted them and put all of these desires and whims within them, then I will command them to change the khalq of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is exactly what is happening now in this day and age, when our children are cross-dressing, our children are not behaving in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them as males or females, and they want to change their gender, they want to change their biology, and they want to block their puberty, and they want to remove their genitalia. They want to be like something than other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal simply mentions, وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. Whoever takes Satan as an ally instead of Allah Azza wa Jal has certainly sustained a clear and manifest loss. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He makes promises, Satan will give you promises, and he fills them with vain hopes. Whatever he promises is a mere illusion. We need to be strong, we need to be upright, we need to be clear with who we are, the way that we have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not disfigure anything that Allah azza wa jalla has created us with. We do not mutilate our body. We do not regret what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We do not disfigure this amana that Allah azza wa jalla has given us. We do not play God with the creation of God. We are the makhluk of Allah azza wa jalla. We are creators of ourselves, and we accept. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْسَى. The male is unlike the female, and the female is unlike the male. And we need to make sure that we fulfill the roles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with. Allah azza wa jal is perfect, and therefore all of His decisions are perfect. He is our Khaliq, and however He has fashioned us is the way that has decided for us. If Allah has made you boys, then you must remain boys until you become men. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you women, then you must girls, then you must remain girls until you become women. Our core identity is that we are His creation, the creation of Allah, and therefore we are subject to His commands and to live life the way that He instructs us. Our life is God-centric. It revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ethics, our morals, our values, our social contracts, everything is around and within Allah azza wa jal. It is not around humanity. Humanity 100 years ago said alcohol was forbidden. Today alcohol is perfectly fine. Humanity would constantly change its norms, but we do not look at humanity. We look at our divine Lord and His command till the end of time. Allah azza wa jal is the most important being in your life. Make sure you know that, and your children know that, and you are grateful for however He has created you, and you follow the commands of Allah azza wa jal. Remember that your body belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must use it according to His commands. According to His commands, men must dress like men and have their masculinity. Women must dress like women and have their femininity. Men and women are distinctly different biologically, physiologically, hormonally. We should know and appreciate and acknowledge and accept that and celebrate that. The only way that we are equal before Allah Azza wa Jal is spiritually. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. However we pray, however the women pray, whatever we do, whatever the women do, in terms of ibadah, we are all equal from a spiritual perspective. But physiologically we are different. We do not follow the commands of Iblis. We do not follow the commands of our whims and our desires. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that individual who takes his hawa, he takes his desires and makes them into his lord? This is what society is doing, taking the whims and desires and fanciful dreams and making them into their lord and saying we can be whatever we want. No, we take the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal and the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.